the recording. So for the audio recording, this is Wednesday, October the 10th, 2018, the fatherheart.tv webcast. And so my name is Barry Adams, and we are talking about giftedness without fruitfulness. And, you know, as Mark mentioned in when he prayed, this is a new topic for me as far as to actually talk about. It isn't a topic. It is a topic that I've thought a lot about in the past. So I'm not sure if my, you know, how coherent I'm going to be with my thoughts, because this is the first time that I'm actually tackling this in this format. So, you know, when I think about the title, giftedness without fruitfulness, it sounds a little bit on the tad that I'm focusing on maybe a negative, and I feel that I really need to be really specific about addressing some things that are very clear biblically. But it's not about focusing on the negative, but it's actually, as Mark prayed, that we would focus on the positive, and that's learning to live in the love of God, and to abide in His love, and to everything that we do, we move in and from that place. And so that's what I want to be able to unpack today. So what I want to do is first of all, I think I just want to I want to talk about the fruit of the Spirit and the gifts of the Spirit. And so these are two elements of the Holy Spirit's involvement in our daily life, and they're very, very different in the way that they are expressed in our life and how they're manifest. So just quickly, I want to talk about the gifts of the Spirit. And again, these are giftings that originate in the heart of God. The Bible says that we are the temple of the Holy Spirit. So God, the third person of the Trinity, the Holy Spirit indwells us, and it's in us that His gifts are manifest. So I'm just going to read some of the gifts of the Spirit that are described in the Bible. There is the word of knowledge, word of wisdom, the gift of prophecy, the gift of faith, the gift of healing, the working of miracles, the discerning of spirits, different kinds of tongues, and the interpretation of tongues. And also there's described in the Bible a fivefold of ministry gifts, which are basically leadership gifts within the church, and that's apostle, prophet, evangelist, pastor, and teacher. And there are other kinds of gifts and giftings, and you know, and I think there's as uniquely, you know, as we are all unique in God's presence, that you know, we all carry maybe a combination of different expressions of God's heart. But you know, other higher, when I say higher profile gifts that we might consider today, we might consider leadership, worship leading, itinerant ministry. I mean, we call it itinerant ministry today, but you know, Paul the Apostle had an itinerant ministry 2,000 years ago in the book of Acts. Parachurch organizations, these are ministries that are not necessarily in the church, but they are to support the local church. Intercessors, even, you know, authors of books, bloggers, whatever. There are all higher profile gifts that we can, you know, receive. And a lot of these giftings are drawing from, you know, the teaching gift or the pastoring gift or the apostolic gift. So I just want to read a couple of scripture passages that talk about gifts, the gifts of the Spirit. So Romans 12, verse 6 to 8 says this: we have different gifts according to the grace given to each one of us. If your gift is prophesying, then prophesy in accordance with your faith. If it is serving, then serve. If it is teaching, then teach. If it is to encourage, then give encouragement. If it is giving, then give generously. If it is to lead, do it diligently. If it is to show mercy, do it cheerfully. And I'm going to read another passage from 1 Corinthians 12, verse 8 to 10. It says this: to one there is given through the Spirit a message of wisdom, to another a message of knowledge by means of the same Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit, to another gifts of healing by that one Spirit, to another miraculous powers, to another prophecy, to another distinguishing between spirits, to another speaking in different kinds of tongues, and to still another, the interpretation of tongues. So again, these are basically two different passages from two different books of the Bible that talk about body life, right? And how we all integrate and how the gifts of the Spirit work. And then so in Ephesians 4, 11 to 13, this talks about the fivefold ministry that I already referred to. But I want to read it. It says, so Christ himself gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the pastors and teachers to equip his people for works of service so that the body of Christ may be built up until we all reach unity in the faith and in the knowledge of the Son of God and become mature, attaining to the whole measure of all the fullness of Christ. So when we talk about the gifts of the Spirit, there's a lot of emphasis on the gifts. And of course, there are specific gifts that have more, that are more popular, especially in the generation that we're in today. Like if we, you know, and again, it depends on the stream of Christianity you're in as well. But if in more of a charismatic stream of Christianity, if there was a conference on the prophetic, usually they're well attended. You know, people love to have prophetic words. They love to hear about the prophetic. They love to be prophesied over. If there were conferences about signs and wonders, they would be packed. They were just, you know, they seemed to really draw a lot of people. And of course, you know, even talking about the apostolic and what does that mean? I think some of the topics that in today's culture is really, really popular. But I think one of the things that I want to talk about I really encourage for those who are on live with us on chat, feel free to participate. I probably won't participate in the chat, but Mark will, and of course have a conversation amongst yourselves while I'm talking. But there seems to be you know, a real pursuit of gifts and a high value of gifts. And again, we are, you know, I do not in any way want to diminish the gifts of the Spirit, because they come from the Holy Spirit himself and they are incredibly valuable. And we need every one of the gifts that he gives us in order to really thrive and bless each other. I like to think, you know, when I think of even the fivefold ministry of the apostle and the prophet and the teacher and the pastor and the evangelist, these are gifts that Jesus himself has given his body so that the body would be built up. So even the office of apostle is meant to be a gift to the body, to build up the body. But oftentimes, if we're not careful, I think we can measure our spirituality by the size of the gifting that we have. Now, I'm not sure if you would resonate with that or not, but say, for instance, like an apostolic gift, we might, when somebody walks in the apostolic anointing, then, you know, we assume that there is a spirituality that comes with that. If they walk in signs and wonders, you know, we can make this connection that, you know, they are very, very spiritual. And oftentimes when we do that, we make assumptions about a person's character that is based on their giftedness. So if somebody has a very powerful healing ministry, we can make assumptions about, you know, just their life and their character that goes along with that. And, you know, and when it does happen, and it's very, very sad when we hear stories of people who are incredibly gifted in the body of Christ and they have, you know, problems, they have failures, they have, they stumble, and, you know, even coming out of ministry. And oftentimes, you know, we get in this place where we're really shocked, we're disappointed. And some people even get disillusioned because they put all their value on that person and measured their spirituality by their giftedness. It's interesting. Romans 11:29, Paul is writing about God, the giftings that God gives us. And he says, for God's gifts and his call are irrevocable. And that's the NIV version. And the Passion Translation says it this way: and when God chooses someone and graciously imparts gifts to him, they are never rescinded. So basically rescinded. So basically what Paul is writing here is that when God gives gifts, he doesn't take them back. You know, people can walk in a prophetic gift, and even if the fruitfulness of their life isn't in line with the giftedness, that they still are gifted. And I think one of the things that I really want to just unpack today is that there's a difference between giftedness in flowing in the gifts of the Holy Spirit and fruitfulness. And I want to talk a little bit now about the fruit of the Spirit, which is different than the gifts of the Spirit. In Galatians 5, 22 and 23, Paul actually describes what the fruit of the Spirit is. And one of the traditional translations that we read, and this is from the NIV, describes the fruit of the Spirit this way: but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, forbearance, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such things there is no law. And so when Paul writes about the fruit of the Spirit, he is speaking, it's very interesting how he is describing the fruit of the Spirit as opposed to the gifts of the Spirit. You see, the fruit of the Spirit, it really speaks of the inward journey that you and I are on. It speaks of the manifestation of God's personality inside of us. And so it's his characteristics, it's his personality that is being expressed through us. I like how the Passion Translation says, Galatians 5, 22 and 23, says it this way: but the fruit produced by the Holy Spirit within you is divine love in all its varied expressions. So, and then I'm going to continue reading on, but what he's basically saying is that the fruit of the Holy Spirit that is in you and I is all of it is rooted and grounded in love. It's not like love is, oftentimes when we think of the fruit from the traditional translations, we think of the fruit as, well, love is one fruit and the joy is another fruit and, you know, peace is another fruit. But what the Passion Translation is saying is that the fruit of the Spirit in a nutshell is all expressions of love. So I'm just going to read it again and then I'll continue with the scripture. It says, but the fruit produced by the Holy Spirit within you is divine love in all its varied expressions, joy that overflows, peace that subdues, patience that endures, kindness in action, a life full of virtue, faith that prevails, gentleness of heart, and strength of spirit. Never set the law above these qualities, for they are meant to be limitless. Now, I don't know about you, but I really do like that version of Galatians 5, 22 and 23. Now, when we talk about spiritual gifts, the Bible says in 1 Corinthians 14, 1, Paul writes, follow the way of love and eagerly desire gifts of the Spirit, especially prophecy. So when we talk about the difference between the fruit of the Spirit and the gifts of the Spirit, it's not like we choose one over the other. Well, I would say in a sense that if they're two wings of the same bird, but I would say that there is a priority. I would say in the sense of if you were to prioritize the fruitfulness of the Holy Spirit and the gifting of the Holy Spirit, of course, the fruitfulness has to come first. And but the reality is that the gifts of the Spirit were never meant to be functioned in, like, that we'd function in those things apart from the fruit of the Spirit. So in essence, if we start to look at the Christian life, we could begin to understand that the fruit of the Spirit of God, God's personality, his character, his nature that lives in us, is meant to be the foundation of the Christian life. And so when we talk about the giftings of the Holy Spirit, what we're talking about is the attributes of God, his nature, his character, that are more an outward expression of his goodness that rest upon the inward revelation of his love that sits in each and every one of our hearts. So if you think, for me, and I'm not saying that this is exactly theologically correct, but for me, the fruit of the Spirit is an inward manifestation of God's own personality that you and I can live in. And the gifts of the Spirit are often an outward expression of his goodness. So when we are moving in the gift of service, or in the gift of generosity, or in the gift of the prophetic, or the gift of encouragement, you know, like all of the different attributes of the gifts of the Spirit, they are coming from the wellspring that lives within us, that is the fruitfulness, that is the bedrock in which we live and move and have our being. It's interesting that I believe that every one of the attributes of the fruitfulness of the Holy Spirit are actual parts of God's personality that he has imparted to us by virtue of our union with Jesus and being the temple of the Holy Spirit. For instance, like when we think of the joy of the Lord, when we have the fruit of the Spirit, and one of the fruit descriptions of the fruitfulness is joy. In John 15, verse 11, Jesus says this about joy: I have told you this so that my joy may be in you, and that your joy may be complete. So basically what he's saying, like if we are walking in the expressing the fruitfulness of joy, it's not our joy, it's not a self-generated emotion. We are actually experiencing part of the personality of God himself, and that joy is in us because it was in Jesus. And he said that, you know, I want my joy to be in you. God's peace. John 14, verse 27, Jesus says this again. He says, peace I leave with you. My peace I give you. I do not give to you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled, and do not be afraid. You see, here we see again the peace of God, the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, the peace that they live in and is part of the aspect of the character and nature of God lives in you and I. And so that's where, you know, I love that scripture in Romans 16 where Paul ends Romans and he says, the God of peace will soon crush Satan under your feet. And it's just the peace that passes understanding is not your peace. It's not my peace. It's not some self-generated thing that if we study enough or work enough that we will be able to attain it. You know, it's not staring in a mirror and saying, I've got peace, I've got peace, I've got peace, you know, in some kind of New Age mantra. This is about you and I being imparted the character and nature of God. The peace that passes understanding is in you and I that can sleep through storms, not because our intellect can understand it, but because the peace of Christ has been imparted to you and I. Gentleness, another fruit of the Spirit. I love Psalm 18, verse 35. King David is writing about this, and he talks to God and he says, your gentleness has made me great. You know, it's even the gentleness of Yahweh, that our Heavenly Father, that's been imparted to us by the Spirit through our union with the Son, that we have the gentleness of God within us. Faithfulness. 2 Timothy 2:13, Paul writes, if we are faithless, he remains faithful, for he cannot disown himself. And one of the other, I think it's the New Living Translation, says, because he cannot deny who he is. You see, our God and our Father is a faithful Father. He will never leave you. He will never forsake you. He is with you day and night, 24 hours a day. He loves you with an everlasting love, a love that predates creation, and he will always be with you. He is faithful even when we are faithless. And it's his faithfulness. It's part of his personality that has been imparted to us through the gifting, or through the fruit of the Holy Spirit. And of course, then we talk about the love of God. John 15, verse 9, Jesus says, as the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. Now remain in my love. You see, the love of God, you see, the Father loves Jesus. He loved Jesus and continues to love Jesus. And 2,000 years ago, when he was on planet Earth, he said, in the same way the Father loved me, I am loving you. and now you remain in that love. So the love that you have, the love that I have, the love that we are to live in and abide in and remain in, and isn't a love that comes from us. It comes from God himself. It's part of his personality. And so I just want to, you know, when I start to think about the fruitfulness of the Spirit of God, the character of what does it mean to really live a fruitful life, it's amazing. And of course, the spillover effect of us abiding in love, living in love, remaining in love, is that we will begin to love other people, right? John 13, verse 34, Jesus says to his disciples, "A new command I give you, love one another as I have loved you, so you must love one another." And so again, we see the impartation of the fruitfulness of the Spirit of the living God going into us. You know, the Father loves the Son so much, and the Son loves us so much. And then we are to, out of the overflow of the abundance of the Spirit of the living God inside of us, we begin to bump into people and love starts to spill out. You see, I truly believe that this Father's love revelation is not a ministry tool, and I go like that, where it's great, and it, you know, people need this, and I want to use this to, you know, to go to the nations or whatever. The Father's love is for you. The Father's love's for me. And I truly believe that it's not a, we are not an impersonal vehicle in which he pours his love. He loves you with an everlasting love, and he loves me. And the more that we believe it to be true, the more that we receive that, the more that we are filled to the full measure of the fullness of God that the Bible talks about, the more that we will live in love ourselves, and then we will become a manifestation of that same love to the world that we're in. That's why it says in 1 John 4:16, and this is the Passion Translation again, it says, "We have come into an intimate experience with God's love, and we trust in the love he has for us. God is love!" Exclamation point. Those who are living in love are living in God, and God lives through them. You see, I truly believe that it is so important for us to be able to understand at a greater level the importance of us bearing that fruitfulness, living a fruitful life, being in this place where it's in the internal mechanisms of our spirit that the love of God, the peace of God, the joy of God, the patience of God, the faithfulness of God, the kindness of God, the strength of spirit, you know, I don't know. I've never liked the word self-control as a descriptor, because, I mean, who am I? I can't, you know, disagree with scripture, but when I think of self-control as a fruit of the Spirit, then it's like I am taking control of my own life again, which is, you know, the opposite to what the whole kingdom life is. But I love how the Passion Translation translates that strength of spirit. That, you know, we have the strength of the Spirit of God within us. And if we want to really understand the personality of God, and if we think of the fruit of the Spirit as being resting on the foundation of the love of God, you know, we can actually read a description that Paul writes in 1 Corinthians 13, verses 4 to 8, about what love is like. And this is what it says. And of course, we, you know, this is read oftentimes at weddings and maybe sometimes at funerals, but it is way more than just a liturgical scripture passage that we put in a ceremony. This is the very description of who God is, because God is love. And it says this: "Love is patient. Love is kind. It does not envy. It does not boast. It is not proud. It does not dishonor others. It is not self-seeking. It is not easily angered. It keeps no record of wrongs. Love does not delight in evil, but rejoices with the truth. It always protects, always trusts, always hopes, always perseveres. Love never fails." So think about that for a moment as a descriptor of who God is. Because God is love, And if we could interchange the word God with love, and then to read this again, we'd say God is patient, God is kind. And again, if we would just think about interchanging the word Father, because the first person, the name of God, is Father. And if you want to understand the personality of your Heavenly Father, I really believe that we could interchange the word Father where it says love. So then think about that. Father is patient. Father is kind. Father does not envy. Father does not boast. Father is not proud. Father does not dishonor others. Father is not self-seeking. He's not easily angered. He keeps no record of wrongs. Father does not delight in evil, but rejoices with the truth. Father always protects. He always trusts. He always hopes. Father always perseveres. And Father never fails. See, I truly believe that the more that we live in love, we will understand what Paul was saying in Romans 13, verse 10, when he says, love does no harm to a neighbor. Therefore, love is the fulfillment of the law. You see, and I know I'm preaching in the choir with this webcast, but I want to encourage you how important it is for us to live a fruitful life, and how the foundation of our lives is the fruitfulness of God Himself in us. See, 1 Corinthians 16:14 says, do everything in love. In Ephesians 5, 1-2, Paul writes, follow God's example, therefore, as dearly loved children, and walk in the way of love, just as Christ loved us and gave Himself up for us as a fragrant offering and a sacrifice to God. Jude 1:21 says, keep yourselves in God's love as you wait for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ to bring you into eternal life. You see, I truly believe that when we understand the priority of love, which of course, you know, everybody on this webcast and who's listening, I'm sure, you know, I'm preaching to the choir with this, but it's to keep the main thing the main thing. And the emphasis and the priority of the fruit of the Spirit and again, this isn't, you know, I've heard this before, you know, that we're not called to be fruit inspectors. You know, I'm not, you know, I've got enough issues in my own life that I can't afford to be able to start, you know, inspecting the fruit in other people's lives. That's not what I'm talking about. But what I'm talking about really is being able to understand what is the main thing and to keep in that place. Because oftentimes, if we're not careful, and if we look at Christendom, if we look at the kingdom from purely a gift perspective, and I don't know about you, but it seems to be more prevalent than not, where we seem to get more blown away by the gifts. And the bigger the gift, the more we are blown away by the person. And I honestly think that's, as long as the gifting is coming from a foundation of love, from a foundation of fruitfulness, then we're, you know, I mean, that is like, you know, we're soaring. If I had two wings, you know, I try to get it in the screen, but we'd be soaring like wings of an eagle when we are moving in the fruit of the Spirit, living in love, making love our greatest aim, at the same time prophesying, at the same time going out and casting out devils and raising the dead and healing the sick. I mean, I truly believe that that's God's plan and His purpose. However, if we have a grid where we really don't value the fruitfulness or of love and how important that is to the Godhead, and we focus, we get, you know, it's so easy for us to be distracted by all these giftings. Oh man, I want that. I want to prophesy. I want to pray for the sick. I want to do this. Then all of a sudden, if we're not careful, you know, we can be, you know, going, having a life of pursuit where we're pursuing gifts and for gifts' sake and not necessarily for love's sake. And I'm just going to read a scripture, and I don't want to focus on it, but it gives an example that Jesus told in Matthew chapter 7, that there is a way that people can walk in giftedness but without having intimacy with Him. And this is Matthew 7:21-23, or Jesus said, not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but only the one who does the will of my Father who is in heaven. Many will say to me on that day, Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name, and in your name drive out demons, and in your name perform many miracles? Then I will tell them plainly, I never knew you. Away from me, you evildoers. And I just, you know, I think, you know, and that's not like, I don't, there's no desire in my heart to, you know, have anybody start to become, oh, you know, a little bit paranoid and saying, you know, am I operating in a gift in a wrong way? I mean, the Father loves us. I think the point is that, you know, in this webcast, I just want to be able to unpack what, just the priority of love, and that, you know, if we are in a place where we have measured even our own life by what we are able to contribute to the body. I really believe the kingdom is not like we think it is. In the kingdom of God, in Matthew 18, Jesus is really, he couldn't be clearer when he said in Matthew 18, verse 1 to 5, that the greatest in the kingdom is a child, a little boy, a little girl, and those who join them, the adults who join them, who turn, change, repent, and become like little children again. So if we have this power structure that we think the kingdom is about power, the kingdom is about all these other things at the expense of love, at the expense of our own peace, at the expense of living a joy-filled life, personally, the inward manifestation of the kingdom. You know, I think, you know, we could be seeking things outward, you know, the giftings and in the evangelism and, you know, all the stuff that's good. But if it comes at the expense of love, we're really wasting our time. And, you know, not my words. So if you get mad at me, don't get mad at me, because if you read this in 1 Corinthians 13, 1 to 3, this is what Paul says. And to me, this describes giftedness without fruitfulness in a nutshell. Starting at verse 1, he says, if I speak in the tongues of men and of angels, but do not have love, I am only a resounding gong or a clanging cymbal. If I have the gift of prophecy and can fathom all mysteries and all knowledge, and if I have faith that can move mountains, but do not have love, I am nothing. If I give all I possess to the poor and give my body to hardship that I may boast, but do not have love, I gain nothing. Now, when we read these descriptors, I mean, they're pretty big, right? Like knowing all mysteries and all knowledge. Like if there was a conference, if there was a conference, you could know all mysteries and all knowledge. If there was a conference, you could speak with the tongues of men and of angels. If there was a conference, you could speak to this mountain and have it cast in the sea. If you have just enough faith and you can get it through this conference, you know, we would be there. Like, you know, it would just so draw us. And all those things in themselves are good and wonderful and part of the kingdom life, as long as they are resting on the foundation of love. As long as they are resting on the character and the personality of God himself. And then each one of those gifts are sanctified, they're holy, and they're a beautiful expression of the kingdom. See, my question is, when, if in just the Christian life, when we're doing all the stuff, we're, you know, doing the kingdom stuff, if love isn't our motivation, then my question is, what is? Is it pride? If love isn't the motivation, is it religion? Is it fear? If love isn't our motivation, is it our competitiveness? Is it our ego? Is it anxiety? Is it bad theology? Are we doing things because of guilt or shame? Is it a desire to have power? Is it a desire to influence people? Is it a desire to be accepted? Is it a desire for affirmation? You see, I really believe that, in, you know, I've got, you know, and for those who are on the webcast, you know, I'm looking at my own video image on the screen. So I'm speaking to myself with this, that it's like all those things are wonderful. And the Father wants us to go to the nations, and the Father wants us to cast out devils, and the Father wants us to speak with the tongues of men of angels. But as the priority, the main thing always needs to be the main thing. And it's the why of the gospel. Why did Jesus die for you? Why did he die for me? So that we could be reconciled with his Father. That we could be sons and daughters to the everlasting God. That the kingdom is all about family. Paul the Apostle says in Ephesians 3, verse 14 and 15, he says, "For this reason I kneel before the Father, from whom every family in heaven and earth derives its name." You see, if the kingdom of God is not about family, if the kingdom of God is not about belonging to God, and he's our dad, and Jesus is our big brother, he's our joint heir, he's our Lord, he's our Savior, he's our King, but he's also the firstborn among many brothers and sisters. If the kingdom is about anything other than that, then what is the foundation that the kingdom is resting on? See, I truly believe that the more that we live in love, the more that the fruit of the Spirit, the personality of God, is manifest in our lives, the more that we will be conformed into the image of Jesus himself, who was the exact representation of his Father. Jesus said, "If you've seen me, you've seen the Father." And I believe that when the love of God, you know, just continues to overwhelm us, it will humble us, it will transform us, it will free us, it will carry us, and we ourselves will become a manifestation of love. And love will ultimately send us to the nations, and love will actually ultimately lead us to sacrifice. In Matthew 20, verse 28, it says, "Just as the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve, and to give his life as a ransom for many." You see, love always leads to lay down our lives. But if we are trying to lay down our lives, as 1 Corinthians 13, 1-3, "Though I give my body to be burned, but I have not love," it means nothing. If we are trying to do it apart from, because we're loved, it's the why of the gospel. It's why did the Father send Jesus? Why did Jesus die on a cross? Why did he defeat death, sin, and Satan? He did it so that you and I could call God Father. That's the point. That's the why. And the why do we do webcasts? Why do we, you know, go to church? Why do we share the love of God with our neighbors? It's because the Father himself has loved us. And it's the love of Christ that compels us to go. That's what it says in 2 Corinthians 5:14. When love is our motivator, it's the great purifier of all of our inordinate affections. See, John 15:13, Jesus said, "Greater love has no one than this, to lay down one's life for his friends." See, that's where love leads us to. But if love is not our great quest, you know, it's not doing everything in love. It's not like we are keeping ourselves in love. If we are distracted by anything other than the love of God, I truly believe that we are the why isn't really being addressed to the very core of our being even. You see, I believe love will take us to places that self-effort will never, higher places of sacrifice than self-effort would ever do, or religion or striving. But my encouragement to you and encouragement to me today is that, you know, my prayer is that the church would have a greater awareness and value for the fruit of the Spirit that comes from just simply living in love, and that the gifting of the Spirit, and it's all wonderful, but that we would not sacrifice living in love, living and seeing through the lens of love, because of some pursuit of something else. See, 1 John 3:1, I truly believe this is the point. This is who we are. And John said, see what great love the Father has lavished on us, that we should be called the children of God, and that is what we are. You see, Jesus came 2,000 years ago to pay the ultimate price so that we could come home. We could come home to the Father that we've been looking for our entire life. We could come home to the love that restores us and heals us and carries us and humbles us. You see, I truly believe that unless we have love, unless the love of God is changing us and transforming us, power apart from love will only corrupt us. I don't think you and I were created to walk in a supernatural power apart from the fruitfulness of the Holy Spirit tempering that power, giving perspective to that power, that it's not for power's sake, it's for love's sake. And I believe that, you know, I truly believe that the fruit of the Spirit and the gifting of the Spirit, they go hand in hand, and Father wants us to soar like with wings of eagles, yeah? Run and not be weary, walk and not faint. But it's doing everything, do everything in love. Whoever lives in love lives in God, and God lives in him. You see, my prayer is that we would all become more fruitful. And just in our fruitfulness, it's not our own effort. Like, I always thought fruitfulness was my own efforts and, you know, how much I could read the Bible and how many people came to Christ and how many visits to the website and all those things. But now I'm understanding that the fruitfulness that the gardener is looking for, Jesus is the vine, we're the branch, his Father's the gardener, and he prunes every branch that's fruitful that it will bear more fruit. That the fruit that the Father's looking for is his own personality. And that's why and Jesus says in John 15, verse 8 and 9, he says, this is to my Father's glory, that you bear much fruit, showing yourself to be my disciples. And then immediately he says these words, as the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. Now remain in my love. So I just want to take a moment and just pray. My prayer is that there would be a greater awakening in each of our hearts, and that we would know that we know that we know that we are rooted and grounded in love. So Father, I pray by the power of your Holy Spirit that lives in the hearts of every believer, that there would just be an awakening in this moment, even right now, for each one of us, Father, that we would know that we are loved with a love that predates creation. That when you see us, you're not looking at worker bees, you're not looking at servants, but you're seeing sons and daughters, and you love us with all your heart. And I just pray, Father, that if there's anything in our life where we have measured ourselves and our own value by our giftedness, or we have measured other people in a wrong way, or tried to live up to other people's expectations through the realm of giftedness, Father, I just pray that you would just, just set us free from any misconceptions of what is great in the kingdom, what touches your heart. Thank you that you gave the greatest gift that you could give when you gave us Jesus 2,000 years ago. And by virtue of our union with Jesus Christ, Father, that we have access into your throne room day and night to all the wonders of your glory and your personality. So, Father, I just pray a blessing on all my brothers and sisters. I pray, Father, that there would just be a greater awareness, a greater rest, the ability to, I pray that there would just be an ability to rest like never before. Papa, I pray that the fruitfulness of the kingdom would just absolutely explode. I pray that the love of God himself would just explode in us. I pray that the joy of God himself would explode in us. I pray that the peace of God himself would explode in us. I pray that the patience of God himself would explode in each and every one of us, and we would just expand in all these things. I pray that your kindness, God, would just would just manifest in a greater way. I pray that your goodness would just manifest. I pray that your faithfulness would manifest. I pray that your gentleness would just continue to expand our being in your strength of spirit. And out of that foundation of love, out of that place of living in the Father's love, completely accepted, forgiven, cleansed, sons and daughters to Yahweh. Father, that the gift of the Spirit, the absolute power and the anointing and the authority that would come to set the captives free, the external manifestation of the kingdom. I pray, Father, that in that place of living in love, that Father, that the love of Christ would compel us to go to the nations, and that we would do the impossible, not for the sake of the work, but for love's sake. Thank you, Father, that we're just 3-year-olds teaching 2-year-olds. So we just pray, Papa, that we just this would become more simple than it's ever been before. In Jesus' name. Amen.